Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we hear this description about someone, he does whatever he pleases, how do we react? Usually in a negative way. We think of that person as being selfish, self-centered, not caring about others, not going by the rules, not having proper restraint. We also think that no one truly can keep on doing whatever he pleases. No one can act this way and get away with it forever. When we hear our text taken from the Psalm for this day, verse 6a, the Lord does whatever he pleases, how do we react? In considering the context of this verse, we see that God does whatever he pleases in nature and in his dealings with humanity, with people. Yes, anything the Lord wants to do in nature, he does. Verse 6 of Psalm 135 reads in its entirety, the Lord does whatever he pleases in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all depths. The psalmist goes on to give specific examples of God's omnipotence. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. God controls all aspects of nature. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He permits earthquakes and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes. He guides the movements of this planet and all the planets of the universe. God, after all, created this universe by just speaking a word. Our text reminds us that we are not the controllers of this earth and this universe. Rather, God is. We have heard reports about this conference taking place in Rio de Janeiro. The purpose of this conference is to save the planet from pollution, to deal with global warming trends and other related issues. Certainly we are to be good stewards of this earth and avoid abusing God's creation. But even if all the nations of the earth would work together in cooperation, humanity does not preserve the earth. God does that. And God will also destroy this planet and this universe when he decides. God does whatever he pleases. He also does whatever he pleases in his dealings with humanity, with people. The psalmist sets forth examples of this truth. Egypt was a mighty nation, but God humbled Egypt with plagues, including the killing of all the Egyptian firstborn. When the Israelites came to the land of Canaan, God gave them victory over their enemies. And so the Lord, as Psalm 135 says, slew Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and the Canaanite king. God indeed does whatever he pleases, but he is not as the pagans imagine their gods to be. God is never capricious or cruel or wrong. He always acts with total righteousness and with perfect wisdom. Pharaoh and his fellow Egyptians were plagued by God because of their arrogance, because of their harsh treatment of the Israelites, because of their mocking God, because of their hardening their hearts against him. Sihon, Og, and the Canaanites were slain by the Lord because their cup of iniquity had reached the point of overflowing, and the time of their judgment coincided with the arrival of the Israelites from the desert. Our psalm gives us a proper perspective concerning our lives. Our experiencing hard times or unhappiness is not because God is unfair or mean or in error. God remains righteous. All he does is in holy, perfect wisdom. At times, God may be chastening us sinful human beings, giving us necessary correction, discipline. At other times, we may not know why God permits some unhappiness to come into our lives. But we can be sure that at all times, God is in the right. He is never at fault or in the wrong. He is always ruling with a wisdom which is far above our wisdom. While this truth gives us some comfort, we receive much greater comfort from the gospel good news that God, who does whatever he pleases, is pleased to act with grace and mercy and love. Again, there are examples from our psalm. God chose Israel to be his special treasured possession, not because Israel deserved this favor from the Lord, but simply because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness, his unmerited favor. God gave the land of Canaan to his people Israel for the same reason. God was pleased to show grace and mercy and love to the Israelites, not only for the Israelites' sake, but for the sake of all nations. God had decided to use Israel in his plan of salvation for fallen humanity. God had decided that the Messiah, the promised Savior, would come from the descendants of Abraham. It is amazing that God would enact a plan of salvation, since all people, by nature sinful, unclean, enemies of God, continually rebelling against him, deserve nothing but everlasting damnation in hell. But God does whatever he pleases. Instead of inflicting the awful, horrible penalty for wickedness on the guilty one, he struck with his full condemning wrath the innocent one, his own son, who had become a man. Instead of winning for us salvation by an awesome, glorious miracle, God used a miserable, rugged cross. God comes to those who by nature are his enemies, who hate him, and through his gospel, he makes them his dear children, believers, those who grasp Jesus Christ in faith, this Jesus Christ, the risen Redeemer. He gives to people, even though they are totally undeserving, the greatest of all possessions as a free gift, everlasting life. Our God, the one true triune God, who does whatever he pleases, is pleased in his love and grace and mercy, also to govern and control all things in this universe for the good of his church. God allows earthquakes and tornadoes and floods and famines and warfare to occur, but somehow all this works out for the good of the one holy Christian church. God gives various talents to people, believers and unbelievers, and these talents will somehow be used by the Lord to strengthen, to help, to extend his church. As we all know, there are groups in our Missouri Synod working for different goals, but God is the one who decides what will happen to our Synod, and his will be done for the good of the whole Christian church here on earth. No one counsels the Lord, no one advises him, no one can stand in opposition to him. The Lord does whatever he pleases. This is a tremendous word of comfort to us and to all believers. God is in absolute, total control. In all matters, he is working for our good, for the good of those who love him. There are no chance occurrences in our life, mere coincidences. God is constantly leading us as our good shepherd in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He who brought us to saving faith in Jesus Christ, in his grace and love, is pleased through his word and sacrament to keep us in the faith, to grant us spiritual growth, to empower us to serve him, to make us more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. God, in his love, uses hard experiences in our lives to correct us, refine us, prune us, so that we are more fruitful for him. And in considering that God does whatever he pleases in his dealings with people, we remember the words of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians. God was pleased, through the foolishness of what was preached, to save those who believe. God has decided to use people to save people, that is, to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. Of course, all the ways in which the gospel is presented, all these ways are used by God, whether it is the gospel being taught in Sunday school, or shared with a neighbor, or read to a shut-in. But since the Apostle Paul mentions preaching, we as pastors or future pastors are especially hit by this passage. When Paul mentions the foolishness of what was preached, He is not saying, of course, that the gospel is actually foolish, but that it seems to be foolishness to the unbelieving world. As we think about all the unbelief, all the false doctrine, all the false religion, the materialism, all the anti-Christian forces, both human and spiritual, our task as ministers may seem to be a hopeless one. But this word from the Apostle Paul and our text give us encouragement. God does whatever he pleases, and it pleases him to use our preaching the gospel to make people believers and to keep them in the faith. God will bless our faithful proclamation of his word. God will make our ministry effective. Therefore, when we hear the words of Psalm 135, the Lord does whatever he pleases, how do we react? We react with joy and praise and thanksgiving. We are filled with confidence and courage. This is good news for us as individual believers, for us as pastors. This is good news we will boldly proclaim to others. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.